This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
IVF procedures can cost between 10 and 15 grand per cycle, but research out today shows that the most popular method in Australia, which is used in around two-thirds of the IVF procedures in Australia, actually isn't working. In fact, it could leave some couples less likely to have children. Dr. Jenaya Rosen is a gynaecologist at the Royal Women's Hospital in Melbourne and at Melbourne IVF. She was a lead researcher and spoke with the Informer journalist Nicholas Kamenia-Sandiri about the study.
Essentially, ICSI, as you call it, or ICSI, which stands for intracytoplasmic sperm injection, was basically a revolutionary technology introduced in the early 1990s to treat couples with where there is a problem with the sperm. From that point on, it became used very commonly in the field of assisted reproductive medicine because male factor problems are, in fact, very, very common. Approximately 50% of couples who present to us with infertility, there is a male factor problem that exists. And traditionally, the Fructu ICSI, which is the sperm being injected with a small syringe, small pet inside of the egg. What we found is that when ICSI is used in these couples, the success rates are no better, and in fact, the outcomes are a little bit worse in regards to the fertilisation rate, the number of pregnancies that we get, and ultimately the live births that we get as well. So much so that there's one less pregnancy for every 15 cycles where ICSI was undertaken.
Can you talk about if you know what some of the differences are between LGBTQI+ and straight couples, how they would approach fertility treatment if they needed to do that to have children?
One of the differences in this group, for example, same-sex couples who are looking for donor sperm, is that many of these couples would start off with in intrauterine insemination with the recipient recruited donor sperm, and this sperm is frozen and thawed. Now, if they do not succeed with the intrauterine insemination treatment, then we move to IVF. And when we're using that sperm with IVF, we're also frozen sperm, which is thawed, and we do classically use ICSI in this setting because often when the sperm thaws, the quality is not suitable for using the straightforward IVF. And I guess that sort of leads to the point that we would love to have more ample supply of this precious resource, the donor sperm. We'd encourage males that they're in the position that would want to do this to donate more sperm so we have better quality sperm from younger men, and we're able to offer sort of less invasive treatments that way. We're able to use more intrauterine insemination treatments and potentially be able to even use IVF for fertilisation if we have more sperm and better quality sperm as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you are considering donating sperm after hearing this story, The Informer would like to advise you to consider and familiarise yourself with your rights and responsibilities as a sperm donor before donating.
That was Dr. Jenaya Rosen speaking with Nicholas Kamenia-Sandiri. This is The Informer. Members of our community have been having children thanks to anonymous sperm donation for many years. One of the quirks of the early donation system was that while there are now restrictions on how many children can be born to a particular donor, the limit is 10 in Victoria and 5 in New South Wales, in the early days, some anonymous donors may have fathered many more children. Shannon Ashton has 5 children who were born through IVF treatment in Brisbane, beginning with her first son, Zach, in 2003. Shannon learned recently that her children's donor has had quite a few other children, something The Informer spoke to Shannon about recently.
We discovered that the donor that we selected was somewhat more popular than we had ever anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually 48 children that have been born from his donation.
Can you tell me how it was you came to realise that?
Completely by accident, actually, because I was calling about something else. I can't remember what. And then I had been on a donor conceived children Facebook page, and I discovered that by law we're actually, even though we're not entitled to find out specific information about the donor, we are entitled to find out the outcome of donations made by our donor. Mm-hmm. And so I just happened to ask the question when I was on the phone, thinking that there might be a handful of other kids from this donor, and I was absolutely gobsmacked to learn that there are 48 children from him.
Did you originally find out when one of your children was in daycare?
Obviously, being part of a same-sex parenting circle at that stage, this is 17 years ago, it had the feeling of an under-the-table sort of secret going on that you knew was happening, but you didn't say too much about it because you didn't want to be stopped. Mm. But at the time, we'd found that we were able to access assisted reproduction, so we didn't know anyone else at that stage who was going through it in our same family situation. And after we had Zach, we were lucky enough to have to meet through a friend of a friend, a lovely lady who we're still friends with now, who did family daycare. And Zach was one of the first children she had in her family daycare business. And then shortly after, she had another same-sex couple who were friends of hers who also wanted their little girl to be looked after by her. And yeah, I won't mention any details about them for their privacy, but it turned out that we stumbled on the information one day because my daycare provider and I were having a conversation about how this other couple were fairly certain they were going to have a girl because they knew their donor had been a surfer. And I said, oh, really? You know, that's funny because ours liked surfing too. That was enough to get my spidey senses sort of tingling, thinking, that's funny. Surfing's not that common a thing to do. So she and I discussed a few more things that we knew, and it turned out that there was a lot more in common than we had realised. And so we put it together, and the other couple confirmed that, you know, we had the same donor.
How did you feel when you realised that?
Overwhelmed at first, but then very quickly, it was a joyous overwhelmed rather than a panicked one. Just what are the odds, you know, and what a small world it was. And the two kids were then biologically half siblings. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I was quite happy about it because I thought what a wonderful opportunity it is for the kids to grow up in their own families, obviously, but knowing that they had someone that was going through the same thing they were, that possibly they could have, you know, a bit of a closer sort of friendship with growing up.
Mm. And do you think it changed your relationship with that other couple?
Absolutely. You know, everyone has their own unique view on the donor siblings issue, and I completely respect that. I was devastated at the time, but they really took more of a panicked type of stance and really didn't want any involvement with donor siblings at all. So before too long, they struggled along for a while, but before too long, they actually removed their daughter from that daycare and found her another one, and that pretty much just ended the contact. So, look, there's nothing you can do about it, and that's completely their decision. I just found it a little bit disappointing, that's all. I was really, you know, full of optimism and, you know, plans for this ongoing, budding, closer relationship.
What do you think was the source of their concerns?
I think they felt that it would impact on their nuclear family. They also had another daughter from a previous relationship who wasn't biologically related to this little girl at all. So perhaps they felt worried that, you know, that it was unfair on her, that my son would have, you know, a biological connection to her that the other daughter wouldn't. I really don't know. I just think they really wanted to protect and create their own family unit that didn't involve any kind of relationships with anyone else. That attitude is quite big. I read a lot of stuff on the forum and a lot of people feel that way. You know, they've gone into this, they've, you know, invested so much time and money into creating their family, they don't actually feel that they necessarily have anything more in common just because there's a genetic connection there. You know, you could have different people who raise their children in a completely different parenting situation, and yet just because they're biologically connected, there's nothing to say that, you know, they'll necessarily get on or have the same values or anything like that. So It is quite a divisive issue.
Do you think that part of it is driven by the fact that there are these narratives within mainstream media organisations that kind of delegitimise same-sex families?
I wouldn't go that far. I actually think it's more to do with people having to fight so hard to build tolerance for their own family. And I think really wanting to guard that. I think it's more of a protective mother bear type of instinct to protect what's yours.
Yeah.
I really don't think the wider community's views on it has as much to do with it as that.
And so how have you spoken to your kids about the fact that they have quite a few donor siblings?
We have a bit of a laugh about it, really, because my older two are quite on the level and we're very open. So we discuss the fact that they're always going to have to be careful when they meet new partners and find out their background and just go into relationships with their eyes wide open. Based on the fact that this one clinic was the only clinic when we went through initially of our particular type of clinic in Brisbane. So a lot of those families, in my understanding, will have started off in Brisbane-based. Now there's a lot more clinics spread around the country and around the nation. But at that stage, it was very, very small bickies. And so I tend to think that at least a lot of those siblings will have been based here.
What was it like being one of the first same-sex kind of couples raising children in an era where it wasn't really necessarily understood or tolerated?
It's gotten easier over time. I'm lucky in that I worked at the school where my kids started school. So I was able to have a really good relationship with my kids' teachers, and they have been nothing but wonderful, really open and inclusive. And, you know, things like on Father's Day, they would make sure that they asked me who I would like the kids to make a card for, or, you know, and they've always gone out of their way to make sure that, you know, different types of families were discussed in the classroom and things like that, and that's made a big difference. Ultimately, going to kids' birthday parties has always been something that's been a bit hairy at first because, you know, you turn up there and inevitably people ask about your husband or your partner or whatever, and it, you know, it's just tricky at first. Whether you want it to or not, it always comes across as creating some kind of awkwardness initially. You know, awkwardness in the discussion, awkwardness in what does the other person say? Even if they're 100% okay with it, it's just not the normal response. So generally we're lucky though. Most times people see us and they see our kids are quite well adjusted and pretty well like other families.
What do you think of donor anonymity from previous eras? Like where donors were effectively promised anonymity, but the laws have now changed.
The laws have changed, but what I believe is that they donated on that provision that they were given their anonymity. And I don't think, and this is my personal belief, and it sticks in my neck because my son would kill to know who his donor is, but ultimately they gave a gift, and what they were guaranteed at that time I think is something that should be upheld. I'm glad the laws changed because I think every child has a right to know their biology. But at the same time, to me, it just does a disservice to those people who genuinely were offering a gift under certain circumstances. And that might not be a very popular view, but ultimately, I think they have that right. You know, I wouldn't have my family if it wasn't for that. And if that was the circumstances under which he wanted to donate, then so be it. Whatever his reasons are. And, you know, I'd like the opportunity to be able to double check 20 years down the track to make sure that that's still the way he feels about it. But ultimately, other than, you know, having a look, seeing what he looks like, shaking his hand and saying, thank you very much for my kids and for my kids to say thanks and hi, we don't need any kind of ongoing relationship. You know, my kids have their family. Yes, it would be nice, but ultimately it's a Russian roulette. You never know what you're going to get anyway. You know, like, what if he doesn't want anything to do with the kids and the kids end up more hurt because they feel rejected in some way? I think you have to respect ultimately that he had the right to make that decision at the time. The law protected that. So you can't go and change that law in retrospect. Different now, when you can say this is the law, you have to be willing to be identified because people can make an informed decision if they then choose to be a donor. But I don't agree with going back and revealing people's identity who truly don't want to be found.
That was Shannon Ashton speaking to Toby Halligan.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.